Joshua 1:9, that's our memory verse from last week, and so we're going to quote that and get caught up to where we're at. And again, I appreciate everybody praying for me. I really wanted to be here on Wednesday, but the doctor told me to stay down for 3 days, and then afterwards I could get off the crutches as necessary. And of course, everything was necessary. So I still have the crutches at home, and as soon as I get home, I'm going to put my foot back up. And he said it's probably going to take about 4 weeks to feel the full effect of everything. And hopefully everything will go well, so we'll see how it goes. But Joshua 1:9, let's go ahead and turn over there. If you've got your Bibles there. If you don't have Bibles, one in front of you. Amen. Joshua 1:9. This is our memory verse, and we are on lesson number 3, the power to succeed. The power to succeed. How many want to be a success? Amen. We all want to be a success. No child, I don't think, grows up saying, you know what I want to be when I get older? I want to be a failure. Amen. That's what I want to be. I want to fail at everything. Amen. Nobody starts off that way. And so to be a success, there is a formula, there is an ingredient, and it is called the will of God and the power of God. And so Joshua 1:9, we're going to say the reference, and then we'll quote the verse, and then say the reference. Here we go. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:9. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you that we can be strong and of a good courage. Thank you that you have told us not to be afraid or to be dismayed or confused about anything, because you're with us no matter where we go, no matter what we go through, no matter the day, no matter the hour, no matter the time, Lord, you're there. And so we are so thankful for that. Help us today as we further see how we can be successful in the will and the word of God. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. All right, well, let's get you caught up to speed here in your book. You are on lesson 3, and let's start you right back at page 22. Page 22. So if you got your books, go back to 22. I'll let you fill in some blanks here real quick. The whole gist of this lesson is to make sure that you and I understand that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Amen. Now, with that said, we have to quantify that. Does God expect me to go be an NBA basketball player? Probably not. Amen. Does God expect me to go out right now and become Ted Turner Jr.? Probably not. Amen. Does God expect me to go out and be Albert Einstein? Probably not. All right. So then I have to understand, what is it that God does want me to do? Because he says, whatever it is, I can do all things. Amen. And so when we're looking at this, that's the crux of what we're discussing here. And so the Roman numeral 1 then was the purpose of this verse. The purpose is I. The purpose of this verse is found in the very first word, I. It's personal. It's addressed to you. Then we had Roman numeral 2, the possibility. The possibility in this verse is found in the word can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But I have to quantify can. Then Roman numeral 3 was the practice of this verse. The practice is do. The practice. Everybody got those? Roman 1, 2, and 3? Okay, so we've got the purpose, number 1, the possibility, number 2, the practice, number 3. And we looked at several biblical characters. Noah building the boat. Yeah. Was Noah able to build the boat? Yes.
Yes,
why was Noah able to build the boat or the ark? He was in God's will. Now, what is it about God's will that Noah could trust in? And think about the verse Joshua 1:9. He would give him what he needed to accomplish, but why would God give him what he needed to accomplish it? Think about Joshua 1:9. How does it start off? He gave them the command. Would we dare send our children to do something that we know they couldn't do? No. If we tell them to pick up their clothes, what do we know they can do? Pick up their clothes. If we know they can empty the trash, are we going to tell them to pick up the trash if they can't pick up the trash? No. Are we going to tell them to wash the dishes if we know they can't wash the dishes? No. We're going to tell them to do what we know they can carry out with our authority. Okay. Now, if you tell them to go drive the car out of the garage, then you got a problem. Especially if your child is under the age of 12. Amen. They are not going to be able to reach the pedals. They can't do that. So if you command them to bag the car out of your garage, what can you set them up for? Failure. And especially if they put it in drive and run through the house. Whose fault is that? It's your fault. So we know that Noah could do what God commanded him to do because he told him to do it. We looked at Joshua. Joshua could do what God commanded him. Why? God told him to do it. Yep. Solomon could build the temple. Why? God told him. Yep. Hosea could marry Gomer even though she was going to be unfaithful to him. Why? God told him to do it. That's okay? Right. So when you look at this practice, we've got the biblical practice. And those are biblical characters that are there. And so then when you're looking at this, A is biblical practice. Yeah. Biblical practice. I can do all things. I can do this because God has commanded me. Then B is modern practice. I gave you that last week as well. Modern practice. Modern practice. By the way, give you some personal touches here. Could I start this church? I can do. Could I start this church? How could I start this church? God's command. I know God told me to start this church. As a matter of fact, I was reluctant to start this church when God told me to start this church. I didn't want to start this church. I wanted to start this church after I got out of the military, not in the military. So I said, okay, Lord, I know you want me to start this church, and I know I can do it with your strength and your power, but can we at least wait until I get out of the military?
There you go, Pastor.
What did God come back and say? No. No, we can't wait until you get out of the military. I want you to do it now. So I could start this church, okay? Can you do what God is asking you to do? Yes. Now, here's the caveat with that. You have to be sure you know what God is telling you to do.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Now, what if somebody goes out and starts a church and God didn't tell them to start a church? Failure. It won't have the blessings of God. Might it be successful? Worldly speaking.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes, it will.
There are a lot of worldly churches out there that are flocked with thousands of people, but guess what? They're not in the will of God. And when they're not in the will of God, they're not going to have the power of God. And if they don't have the power of God, guess what? That church is going to be worldly. It just is. By the way, we look at mega churches around the world. Is there anything wrong with mega churches? No. But do we see mega churches in the Bible, in the New Testament? No.
No, we don't.
Guess what? There was a mega church in Jerusalem. Guess what happened in that church? Persecution came and they got scattered.
Yes, they did.
And what happened when they got scattered? The word of God spread. And what happened as a result of the word of God being spread? New churches began to spring up. Were those churches mega churches? No.
No.
Because as soon as they got started, guess what came into the church? Persecution. And guess what? They went back out. Why? The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So the mega churches that we see today really aren't biblical. Now, is there anything wrong with mega churches? No, nothing wrong with it at all. It's just that it's not normally the trend of the New Testament. Okay? So if I am not called to go start a church, and I started a church, might that church be successful? Yes. But it won't have the blessings and the peace of God. Amen. So Joshua could lead the children of Israel because God told him. Solomon could build the temple. Hosea could do what he did. Amen. So modern practice. I was told to start this church and I did it. Amen. By the way, I believe God pressed upon my heart to purchase this church.
Yes,
sir. So could I do it? What can we look back and see that we knew God was in it? He gave us the money.
Yes.
Did we have the money? No.
We did not.
But I was convinced that God wanted us to do it, and I was so scared.
Yes, sir.
I was afraid. I thought, Lord, are you serious about this? I've seen our people. I've seen what they give, and they don't give enough for that. I said, we can't do this. He said, no, we can't, but I can. And I was scared. I was nervous. I remember in the bank signing paperwork. My hand was shaking. Because the paperwork stated if we had to put down, what was it, I think, $10,000 or something like that? We had to put $10,000 down. And we didn't collect the rest of the money at the end of the 30 days. We were going to lose the $10,000 that we put down. And I thought, Lord, we cannot afford to give $10,000 just up to the bank who doesn't need it from us who need it. And so I was afraid. But what did I have to keep resting on? God commanded me to do this. God told me to do this. Remember Abraham when he was going to sacrifice Isaac? What did he have to keep telling himself? God told me to do this. Did it make sense to sacrifice your son? No. But God told me to do this. How many of y'all think he told Sarah, his wife? Where you going, Abraham? Oh, we're just going out for a little camping trip. When you coming back? Oh, when we're done camping. What you going to do while you're out there? Oh, we'll make a fire. What are you going to do? I would probably catch something and put it on the fire. What are you going to catch and put on the fire? Oh, God will supply. I don't know if he told his wife, because if any wife is told that their son or daughter is going to go out and be sacrificed, what would you do, moms? Take your child and probably flee the city, amen? Or either commit your husband to the insane asylum, one of the two, amen? But what did he keep resting on? God told me to do this. You got to be very careful to be in the will of God to know what God's telling you to do. Because the devil can whisper in your ear and tell you to do some things too. And he can get you in trouble.
He can.
Amen. And so when it came down to starting this church, I knew that God wanted me to do that because it was the will of God. I knew that God was going to help get the church purchased. Did that take away my fear? No, it did not. What did I have to keep relying upon and trusting on? If God commanded, God would supply.
Yes, sir.
Now, it was the midnight hour when God did supply, and I was sweating. And I was in California, and I couldn't even be here by the bank, and I was still sweating. I thought, Lord, this is not looking good. Where are we going to get this money from? I'm in California. I mean, Brother Hall, I was talking to every preacher I could. Hey, you got some money? I went out, I talked to Paul Chapel. I said, look, we're trying to start a church. We need some money. And they gave us $1,000. Amen. I was talking to everybody I could. And the money wasn't coming in fast enough. The deadline was Monday. And we needed the money by Friday. And Thursday is when I got the message that Lasco Foundation was giving us $495,000. I was petrified. I was scared. I said, this is, Lord, maybe I made a mistake. You ever went into a financial endeavor and you were afraid that you were making a mistake, but you were convinced that you were right, but you were afraid still? It's funny how that goes together. You're convinced that this is what God wants you to do, but you're afraid at the same time because it doesn't look like it's going to come together. And that's how I was. Now, looking back, I'm like, yeah, knew God was going to come through all along. Amen. No, I didn't. I was calling up the bank. How much can I have for my house? How much can you give me for my car? I'm trying to give everything away. Give me $25,000 for my car. Give me some money for this. Amen. I'll sell it all. Amen. And then God said, you don't have to do all that. If I commanded you, I'll do it. Go back to Joshua 1:9 if you're still there. Notice what it says there. The modern practice, if God has commanded us to do this, we can do it. He says down there, have not I commanded thee? If God has told us something in the Bible, he is going to fill it out through us. He says, be strong and of a good courage. So have your vitality about yourself and have some belief in my abilities. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. He says, don't let the fear set in. Neither be thou dismayed or confused. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He said to Joshua, you can command the people. You can go into Cana. You can control that land. You can kick those inhabitants out. Why? Because I told you you could. And guess what? If God supplies us with the power, can it be done? Yes.
Yes, it can.
Yes, my God shall supply all your need. Amen. So when you look at this, this modern practice, if God has called us to accomplish something, he will do it no matter what it is. By the way, can we do what God has called us to do as far as our responsibilities biblically? Yes.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. So let's go over here to this next Roman numeral here, Roman numeral 4, the perspective. The perspective of all things. The perspective. The perspective. The perspective surrounding this verse is found in the phrase all things. So we're going to talk about A, the extent. The extent. So how far will God's power go in our lives? Amen. By the way, how far will God's power go in our lives? As far as we allow it, the extent matters not. By the way, they give you some verses there. Go to your Bible in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Philippians chapter 4. The extent. I'm going to give you two thoughts about the extent here. The extent. All right. Philippians chapter 4. And over in Philippians chapter 4, of course, Paul is writing. Anybody knows where is Paul writing from? Jail.
Jail.
So if he's writing from jail, is that a good place to be or a bad place to be? If it's the will of God, it's a good place, amen. But humanly speaking, is it a good place to be, humanly speaking?
No,
humanly speaking, it's not. But Paul is in the will of God. So when you look at the extent, can Paul still fulfill the will of God? Yes. Why did he get in prison? Spreading the gospel. Was that the will of God? Yes.
Amen.
So when you look at the extent, the conditions don't matter. He is still fulfilling the will of God. What was God's call to him? Get the message out. Is he still getting the message out in prison? Yes, he is. He's just not physically going. Amen. And so when you look at this, the conditions and the circumstances really don't matter. Notice what he says down in verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. In other words, he's saying you guys took care of me for a while, then you stopped. Now it's coming again. He says, wherein you were also careful, you're anxious, it's saying, but you lacked opportunity. He said you didn't have the ability to give. He says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. If I go to school and learn, is that easy or is that hard? It's hard. It's hard. By the way, how many of y'all like gym class growing up? I loved gym class until I got to high school. When I got to high school, they began to teach you different games, and then they taught you the rules, then they tested you on it. Now, wait a minute. In grade school, you just get out there and play dodgeball and light them up. I mean, you get out there, you just play kickball. You know, in grade school, you just play some basketball. Nobody gave me any tests on that stuff. I get to high school, they're going to teach you the rules. And then they're going to test you on that. I'm not a tennis player. But guess what? In tennis class, they tested you. You had to know when to serve, when not to serve, who scored, who didn't score. They taught you the rules and all that. Learning just because gym class became difficult for me all of a sudden. I don't know if y'all, how many of y'all got tested in gym class in high school? Amen. How many got tested in grade school? And don't substitute gym class for health class. That's even worse. Well, I don't have gym now, but it's called health. And now I got to get tested. Wow. Learning is hard work.
Yes, it is.
And so Paul said here, not that I speak in respect of want, I have learned, I had to work at this. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I had to be content no matter my conditions, no matter my circumstances. Does Paul want to be in prison? No, no more than you want to be in prison. But Paul does want to fulfill the will of God, and he's been commanded to give the gospel out. And so he's still able to do it here, no matter the conditions, circumstances. Notice that verse number 12. I know both how to be abased, that is to be made low. And I know how to abound, that's to have a whole bunch. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, same basic word as learned, both to be full, have enough, and to be hungry, to have not enough. Amen. How many of y'all can miss a meal and not pass out? Some people, if you miss a meal, you start getting lightheaded and faint. And don't throw in, if you're a diabetic or some other kind of sickness where you have to have food and you miss a meal, you start getting lightheaded, like, ooh, I'm going to pass out. What's the matter? Oh, I didn't eat lunch. Then others can miss lunch and be like, oh, well, no big deal. I'll pick it up at dinner. What happened? They had to learn that. They had to train themselves for that. He says, I have instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So Paul is saying here, the extent to which this perspective goes is the conditions and the circumstances don't matter. It doesn't matter where I'm at. If God told me to do it, I can do it. By the way, if God told you to raise your children, can you raise your children?
Yes.
If he didn't think you could do it, he wouldn't have told you. If God told you to love your wife, can you love your wife? Yes. If God told you to submit to your husband, can you submit to your husband?
Yes.
God told you to obey the government, can you obey the government? Yes. God told you to be in church, can you come to church?
Yes.
If God told you to be respectful to your boss or your employer or employee, can you do it? Yes, and yes. Now, let's throw in a variable. Let's just suppose that my boss is Attila the Hun. Can I still be submissive to my boss and be a good worker? If God told me to, I can do it. What about if my employee is a lazy slob who doesn't like to work? Can I still be a good boss of that lazy slob that doesn't want to work? Yeah, give him a pizza and fire him. All right, but you need to counsel him first and encourage him, amen. Don't just fire him just like that, amen. You gotta work with him, amen. What am I saying? It doesn't matter. What if my husband is somebody that is just, I don't want to submit to him because he's, Can I still submit to him? Yes. Can I still love my wife even when she's unlovely? Yes, and yes. What am I saying here? The extent, the conditions don't matter. The circumstances don't matter. I can do all things. If God has commanded me, I can do it. Okay? And even though Paul was in this prison here, he could still do the will of God. Let me read what it says here in the book here. It says, perhaps you feel as though you're in a prison of your own circumstances, much like Paul. You might feel trapped, not knowing what to do or how to do it. The burdens may seem insurmountable and the escape may seem non-existent. There's no way out. If this is you, remember the extent of God's promise and all things he will strengthen and help you. If God has commanded, God will bring it out and God will do it through you. Amen. If he's commanded. So let's go now to this next one. Not just the extent, but now the limitations. Where do I start? The limitations. What does God want me to do? And when it comes to the limitations and what does God want me to do, I need to understand, first of all, what he wants me to do biblically. If I don't get that down, everything else is going to be out the window. If you put the cart before the horse, guess what? You don't go anyplace. Anybody know what it looks like to have a cart before the horse?
Yeah.
Amen. You got the horse behind the cart and the cart's in front. The cart's not going to drive itself. The horse normally has to pull the cart. The horse cannot push the cart. Amen. He's got to pull the cart. But if I put the cart before the horse, if I got all these other things out here and I forget the biblical priorities, guess what? I'm going to do nothing through Christ. Amen. And so when you look at the limitations here, I've got to consider two things here. First, the command. Did God tell me to do it? Notice what it says down there in your book there, Joshua 1:9. Have not I, what's those words?
Commanded
thee. And what did he command me to do? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What did he tell Joshua in verse number? Let's go back there. Go back to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Because one thing that we have to understand is there are going to be some limitations on what God would have us to do. And notice what it says down there in verse number 1 and 2. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto who? Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, what did he say? Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is what? Dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and who? All this people, where? Unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Notice verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So the limitations are bound within the command that God gives you. If God gives you a command, I can do all things through Christ. If God doesn't give you the specific command, is this something that you should do? Then you've got to ask yourself that. Because let me tell you a little secret here. You have not just Christians, but people in general who are doing things they have no business doing, and they're dismayed. They're confused because they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And then they get upset when they can't get it done. And guess who they take it out on? Everybody else, including God. God, is your fault because you said I can do all things. I didn't tell you to do that thing. Well, God, it's your fault because I can't do this thing. I didn't tell you to do that thing either. Well, God, it's your fault because I didn't tell you to do that thing either. Well, now that's three things that God didn't tell me to do. Now I've got to look at what he has told me to do and say, okay, now what else didn't God tell me to do? Because you'd be surprised. God is never going to set you and I up for failure to give us more than what we can handle. Amen. It may seem that way. Now Joshua here is taking on the whole nation of Israel here. Had he done that before? No. No, he hasn't. But guess what? God didn't just put him in a position of leadership. What was Joshua's position prior to this? Anybody remember? Moses' servant. What was he militarily speaking? He was a commander. He was a general. And so what did he command? Troops. And what was his job? To do what Moses told him to do with his troops. Moses gave Joshua the command. Joshua told his guys what to do. Before he was a general, probably what was he? A family man. We know Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house. And so he was probably commanding his house. Then God said, okay, you're doing a good job with your house. Let's step you up into the military here. And now not just your house, but you're going to have these troops under your supervision. And you're going to have to lead these troops and your house. Then Moses dies. Here's he says, now not only do you have your house to deal with, and not only do you have these troops to deal with, now you've got the whole nation to deal with. And you're going to go and take them and do what Moses started. And you're going to finish it. So what did he do? He stepped Joshua along the way. He says, now I'm going to command you and you can do all these things through Christ, which strengthens you. What does he do for you and I? He does you the same way. He takes you as a single person and he marries you if you're married, and he gives you a spouse and puts you together and says, okay, now that you were single and commanding your life under my will, now I'm going to put you together with a spouse, and together you guys are going to follow my will and command your life. Now I'm going to give you some children and you're going to follow my will for your children, just like you followed it for your family as a husband and wife, and just like you followed as a single. And now your children are going to get older and start changing. And guess what? You're going to keep the same formula intact. And guess what? I'm going to put you in a church. I'm going to give you a pastor, and you're going to do the same thing with your children and with your family as you did as a single. And guess what? Now I'm going to give you a job. You're going to go out to the job and you're going to submit to the government. You're going to submit to the people at your job the same way. And that's how God does it. And little by little, he adds other things on to that. But what do I have to do? First of all, be faithful to do what he's called me to do. And so Joshua is well able to do verses 2 and 3 and also 4 down there, because God has given him the ability. And so the first limitation we have to understand, did God command me to do this? Amen. And then there's a second one. By the way, you can do all that God calls you to do.
Yes.
And that's the one thing I want to keep before you. If God called you to do it, you can do it. Yes, amen. God didn't call you to do it, then leave it alone. The second part of that is be of good courage. Notice verse number 9 down there. Command is needed and courage is needed. Notice verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good what? Courage. If God has commanded me, then my next step is to just step out and say, let's go.
Yep. Second.
Guess what? The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's to get them saved.
Yes, sir.
What's the next step?
Baptism.
Okay. Now, if I get saved, am I automatically baptized after I get saved? No. Guess what I got to do? I got to be of good courage and step out and say, okay, I'm going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism.
Yes,
I'm going to take the next step. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what goes along with what he's doing here. So when it comes to the limitations, I've got to understand there's a command that goes with it. He says, if I command you, you can get it done. But then there's courage that is needed. I can do this thing. It is needed. So the command is needed and the courage is needed. Amen. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse number 1. I think that's in your book as well. Deuteronomy chapter number 20. Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 20. Again, this is in your book. And notice verse number 1. It says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses. And, am I in the right one? Yeah, I am. Okay. And chariots and a people more than thou, be not what? Afraid of them. What's the natural inclination to see a crowd that you don't know? Fear. Especially if you're going to tell them to get out.
There you go, Pastor. There you go.
Imagine showing up on the doorstep of a nation and saying, okay, y'all need to get out. Why? God said this belongs to me now. You think they're going to go willingly?
Nope,
no.
They're
going to go with a fight. Why? People have a will too. And we're getting ready to pray for our devotion last night. And our children know where mom prays at. And one of my children went to go confiscate her spot. And my wife came over and said, you know I pray here. What are you doing? Well, hoping that she would renege and go pray someplace else. And she faked like she was going to go someplace else. She's like, get out my spot, boy. Hey, when you don't occupy a space, it's some confrontation to take it over. And so when you look at this, they're about to go in here. And he says, hey, look, you're going to a people that's greater than you, but I don't want you to be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. In other words, what God is saying, if I brought you out of Egypt, I'll take you into Canaan.
Yes, sir.
Why? He brought them out of Egypt to take them into Canaan. That was the whole goal. He didn't bring them out of Egypt just to leave them out in the wilderness. Amen. And so you look at this here. So the limitations, if God commands us, then we need to be of good courage and just step out by faith and do it. Amen. The only other limitation is our lack of faith is stepping out. Amen. We have to believe that God has called us and commanded us to do this, and we can do it. Notice they give you two verses there, Matthew 17, 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your what? Unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. But then notice Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is what? Impossible to please him. It's impossible. I've got to believe that God has commanded me to do this, given me the courage to do this, and I've got to believe that the conditions and the circumstances don't matter. And I've got to actually believe this and then commit to God's will and step out. Simple as that. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so I've got to commit once I understand the conditions don't matter. The circumstances don't matter. I've got to make sure that if once I do that, I have some courage and I obey the command and then commit and then step out. Amen. By the way, they asked this, how is your perspective today? Are you burdened with a load of care? Are you struggling to pay bills to finish your growing to-do list or to even find the physical strength to get dinner on the table? If so, remember that you can do all things if it's God's will. If it's not God's will, he's not going to give you the strength. And if God doesn't give you the strength to do something, what are you going to be doing it in? Well, if God didn't tell you to do something, then it's going to be in whose strength? My strength. What is that going to make me as a person? Irritated. Irritated, amen. And also physically tired. Now, is physical tiredness normal? It is. Jesus, through his ministry, says he was wearied and he sat down. That's normal. But when I continuously, 24 hours a day, do what God has told me not to do in my own strength, and I'm still trying to do what God wants me to do in his strength, am I going to be tired normally more than necessary? Yes. To add on irritation. Why? Because I can't seem to get it done. God's only gave me enough strength to do his will. He didn't give me strength to do the other things. Look at it this way. You go into the grocery store and you have your budget set to spend $100, but you got $150 worth of food. What's going to happen if you got $100 and you got everything labeled and you got it all priced out, but through that you shopped while you was hungry, so you picked up popcorn and bonbons and you know, all the rest of this stuff, and now it comes up to $150 and you don't have enough money. That money's got to come from someplace. And so when you look at it, if I've got $100 and I set my budget for $100 and I got everything labeled, I've got enough. That is the strength that God gives us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But now if I've got this other stuff that wasn't on my list, that stuff that I wasn't supposed to get, or that stuff that God didn't tell me to do, it's still got to be paid for somehow. Yes, and guess how it's going to be paid for? My strength.
That's right.
And I don't have enough of it to go around.
Oh boy.
Amen. If you like me, I don't have enough. I got just enough to do what God's told me to do. And anything extra, I'm going to be a bear woken up from hibernation. Amen. It is not pretty. And so when you look at this, the perspective has got to be clear. If we have a growing list of things to do and they're not God's will, then our physical strength will be utilized and we will be tired. Not only that, there's going to be a battle now. Am I going to do God's will? Or am I going to do this other stuff? Now there's a struggle. Should there be a struggle? No, because God's will should be here. And the other stuff should be over here. And so I've got to make sure that I've got my priorities. So he says, I can do all things through Christ. And so when you look at this, number four, the perspective, it's all things. But the extent is, I've got to look at the conditions and the circumstances. I can still do it if God commanded me to do it. I've got the courage to do it. And I've got to commit to doing it, but I've got to make sure that it is what God has told me to do and not something that I want to do myself. And again, we're giving you the priority list. Amen. I've got to seek first the kingdom of God. I've got to be loving my wife if I'm married. I've got to be submissive to my husband if I'm married. I've got to be raising my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If I've got children, children are supposed to be obeying their parents. I should be in the house of God, learning and growing in the church. I should be obeying the government, and I should be obedient to my bosses and my employers. God has clearly told me I can do all that. Now, with that, he's going to give me what I need each step of the way. Each step. Now, are all your children different? Yes. But can you still raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Yes. Not take away from any of their personality. Not take any away from any of their character except bad character. Amen. And you want to give them godliness and you want to do it the right way. Can I still submit to my husband even though he seems to be a bear? Yes, I can. Can I still love my wife when she's unlovely? Yes, I can.
Yes.
Why? I can do all things. Okay. So when you look at that, that's where we stand with that. Amen. Let me give you the Roman number 5. We're not going to talk about it. I'm going to give it to you and we'll talk about it next week. And that is the power through Christ. The power. The power of this verse is through Christ. If Christ is sufficient, then we're going to get the job done. The power of this verse. And we're going to be looking at the memory verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9, which is in your book there. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Let me write that down here, Brother Duffy, for you. All right, so remember verse 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the power through Christ. So when you're looking at Roman numeral 4, the main thing I want you to take home from this is we've got to understand the perspective. We've got to look at it from God's view and see the extent. What can I do? I can do all things. Conditions don't matter. I can be in prison. Circumstances don't matter. I can have a bad situation at home, at school, or wherever. The situations don't matter. The conditions don't matter. If I've got the command, he said, I commanded you to do this. Biblically speaking, I can do it. I just need to have courage, step out and do it, and commit with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to believe him. Amen. By the way, if I had no faith, I would have never signed the paperwork saying that we're going to get this money. Guess what I had to do? I had to commit myself. I had to say, okay, here's the money, and I'm going to sign saying we're going to get this. Did I know where the money was coming from? No. But I believe that God told me to do it. He gave me a command, And I believe that the conditions and the circumstances of our people didn't matter. And I had to step out with courage and commit and sign the papers. And guess what happened when I did? God showed up. And I was able to do that through Christ, which strengthens me. I can't take any credit for that at all. Wish I could. I can't. By the way, you and I can't take credit for the will of God. We just had to give God the glory and say, God, you gave me the command. I did what you told me to do. You don't go back. You don't see Joshua saying, boy, if it wasn't for me going into the land of Canaan. Boy, Moses saying, if it wasn't for me, y'all still be in Egypt. Wasn't for me. Hey, a husband, we can't say it wasn't for me loving that wife. She would never be what she's supposed to be. Yeah, I take no credit for that. Oh, it wasn't for me submitting to him. He would never be the person he is right now. It wasn't for me raising up these children. They would never be. No, you got to give the glory to God. I can do all things through Christ. It's nothing on us. We're just fulfilling God's will. And we can do it. Amen. So when it comes down to this, amen, be careful to look at your list of priorities and make sure that the perspective and the extent is there, the limitations are there. You understand that you're only going to get power to do what God's called you to do. Not going to get power for anything else. And when you're at that point, maybe you have to rejuggle your list. I don't know about y'all, but I make a to-do list every day. And I'm constantly taking stuff off, putting stuff on, taking stuff off. And sometimes as the day goes on, stuff is not on my list that pops up. And guess what I have to do? I got to put it on my list now because I know it's of God. And sometimes I don't want to do it. I'm like, Lord, my list is full. Now I got to take something off the list. He said, well, you can do it. I wouldn't have told you to do it if you couldn't do it. I think, well, this goes against my plans. That's why I had my plans, amen. And God seems to do that just about every day. But God is good all the time, amen. So 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So look at your priority list. Make sure that you are doing what God is commanding you to do because he will give you what you need for it. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Help us as we look at this verse and the ability to do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Lord, help us to determine our own perspective, Lord, making sure that we're seeing what you're seeing us do. And Lord, get the extent down. The conditions, the circumstances don't matter. The command is needed, the courage is needed, and the commitment is needed. Because when it comes to the limitations and the extent, Lord, that you have told us, if you want us to do it, we can do it. Help us to restructure, reprioritize on a daily basis, Lord, and on an hourly basis, as often as necessary, as you bring things into our life, we may adjust and change for the glory of God. And Lord, when you do fulfill your will in us, help us not to try to take credit for it, but to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless our refreshments next door as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. 2 Corinthians 12:9 is our verse. Refreshments are next door.